You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate so you never ever have to work a job again. And in today's show, we're going to be talking all about how you can invest in low-income areas, make a lot of money in passive income, revitalize these areas on top of that, and make a lot of money doing it. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, what's up? Super blessed as always to have you here on the show. Honestly, like I say this all the time, but honestly, week after week, coming back and listening, it is really encouraging that you come back and want to listen to how to invest in real estate. Like, it's just a blessing. Now, the blessing for me is I get to help you. And hopefully, the blessing for you is you be able to change your life, being able to get financial independence. I just love that. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. So I get fulfillment, not accomplishments. Let me say that a different way. So when I bought my first property, I felt like it was a great accomplishment. I mean, I made $317. I literally remember the check that came in the mail from my property manager, $317. I was like, man, that was the easiest money I've ever made. So that was a huge accomplishment. Then every property after that, another great accomplishment. And then becoming successfully unemployed was another huge accomplishment that I was so blessed to have. Those accomplishments. But what's interesting is I always felt like there was another accomplishment that I needed to get to, or I needed to do more. I needed to keep doing and doing and doing. I didn't necessarily feel fulfilled. In fact, I felt like I needed to do more because quitting my job, becoming successful and employed, it's like, well, we got to make sure we have enough money coming in. Now, here's the great thing. This is the reason why I bring it up, talking about the podcast as well, is when I help you to invest in real estate, or a student, or just anybody in general. Like, if you listen to the podcast and you invest just from listening to the podcast, I am so ecstatic because I feel fulfilled. Now, I'm blessed. Now, I don't have to worry about the money coming in anymore because of all my properties. They make me all the money. Now, I could just spend my time serving you. But the great thing about this, I feel so much better, more fulfilled, like everything is just better in life when I help you to invest in real estate and then you change your life, which is even icing on the cake. Now, you did hear at the beginning of this episode, you heard me come on and say something that you've never heard before. It's basically the big change, or what I've been working on top of the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. So RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, I created it for you. Well, selfishly for me, because I wanted to party with my friends, have a great big party, 3-day party where we're all teaching people about how to invest in real estate and then inviting you. But I created it for you, and I continually do it for you because I want you to invest in real estate. It is an amazing conference. So on top of building this conference and doing it again this year, like the conference is actually 2 weeks from now, March 14th or 16th, it's an annual conference. So whenever you're listening to this, we're going to have this every year. So go to rubecon.com. You can see the link in the description. Get your pass. You want to be here with us. No sales pitch conference, literally just 3 days of coaching, teaching, communication with other investors, connecting, networking, all that good stuff, and parties. It's so much fun. But with that, on top of all of that work, I decided I've got a lot of friends who are fantastic real estate investors that also have a heart for giving, a heart for serving people, a heart for helping more people to invest. And on top of that, they are financially successful. And on top of all that, they're a giving personality. This is basically, I'm finding people who are very similar to myself, financially independent, you know, successfully unemployed. On top of that, they also have a way that makes them money in passive income. They are also givers. They're also people that I would want to actually hang out with. In fact, the people that I bring to my conference, or the people that I hang around, like in general, is Well, the people that I like to be around. Honestly, if there's somebody that I really don't feel like we mesh very well, like we don't get along, for whatever reason, it's probably just me. They're probably great people. It just is not me. We don't get along that well, or at least it doesn't mesh. Then they're probably not going to be in my realm of influence or be around me. And the big reason why is there are other people they can work with. Like, I'm not going to waste their time. And even friendship-wise, if it's really hard to develop and keep a friendship, it's like, oh, there are probably other great people you can work with. And a big thing is, business-wise, I don't go into business with anybody that I don't like. Like, literally, if I don't like that person, I will not do business with that person. I've done it in the past. I've actually stomached the idea of working with somebody like, oh, it's going to be good though, even though I can't stand being around the person. Like, this person was old, crotchety, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but an old guy that I went to business with, or he was a landlord of a commercial property that we had my convenience store that I was a part of or built. And he was a really horrible person to work with. Like, he was just, it was so bad. You would probably feel the exact same way. Like, man, this guy's so rough. With that, I realized life is too short, so I don't work with people that I don't get along with for whatever reason. But I do work with people that I do get along with. In fact, at RubeCon, we've got 54 speakers now. These are awesome people, friends of mine, who are real estate investors, who are giving personalities. They're at RubeCon, so you can definitely meet them. But here's another thing that I decided to do. I've had a number of my friends who do not have podcasts, who want to start coaching, want to start teaching people because they're starting to realize, man, you know, there's only so much golf you can play. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of golf you can play. But eventually, you just don't really feel fulfilled anymore. You feel like, you know, I've accomplished things, but I want to help people. And now, because of the vision that I have to help 1 million people to invest in real estate, now I have people coming alongside me wanting to do the exact same. So you're going to be hearing really soon new podcasts from the Master Passive Income Podcast Network, that these shows are people that I actually like and I actually hang around with. And I would put my stamp of approval saying, this person is quality. If you work with them, they're probably going to steer you in a fantastic direction. I'll give you a quick example. I have a friend of mine. His name is Dennis Trufin. He has proven many times how to, like, literally done himself, made multiple channels on YouTube, making, this is passive income, remember, not just real estate. We're going to talk about lots of, or all types of passive income, but he's done this so many times now. It makes like $5,000 to $10,000 a month from these YouTube channels, and he's got multiple ones, and he's also coached people. I said, Dennis, you're really good at coaching people about YouTube. How about we start a podcast and you can start coaching people if they want to get on YouTube and make passive income from YouTube? He's like, you know what? It's a good idea. Let me talk to my wife. Fast forward, he talked to his wife and his wife had the first question. The only question that really he needed was, well, do you trust Dustin? Do you trust that he's going to take care of it, take care of you, make sure that your best interest is at heart? I've known him for 7 years now, 6 or 7 years now, and we get along so famously well. And obviously, you guys, if you've been around long enough, you know me. My personality, I just love giving. I love serving. I'm a Christ follower. So if it goes against the Bible, then I don't do it. If it goes with the Bible, then I do it. Treat people well. He said, yes, I absolutely trust Dustin. So it's a no-brainer. He called me back in like 10 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that. Said, I'm in. So with this, we are going to be putting out more podcasts that are going to help you get multiple ways to get passive income. I'm super pumped. Like, YouTube passive income, getting passive income from YouTube, or advanced investing. Like, if you have a lot more money than time, meaning if you're a doctor, a lawyer, you have a high 6-7 figure salary, whatever it might be, and you want to actually deploy that, you don't want to build the business, you want other people to do it and just invest your money. We're going to have that. We're going to have the Passive Income Life podcast that's coming on. We're also going to have Breakthrough Investor with Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer, two of the coaches here at Master Passive Income. They're starting another podcast. We also have the Real Escape Investing podcast, like Real Escape, kind of play on words, real estate, but Real Escape Investing podcast. Terry Schauer up in Canada. She's teaching people how to invest in Canada and wants people to learn how to invest in Canada and America. We're teaming up to there together to there. We have a couple other people coming on, and I'm not going to give everything away right now, but that is the direction of Master Passive Income. That's the big announcement that I'm giving to all of you, is that we are now creating the Master Passive Income Podcast Network, and you're going to be a part of it. We want to give you every means and every opportunity to get passive income, to become successfully unemployed with any means. And eventually we'll probably be on a podcast passive income, or a book writing, self-publishing passive income, music. Like, as soon as I find people that are the right fit for you, or anybody listens to Master Passive Income, we're going to be bringing them on. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about this. I'm just letting you know what's going on. This is so amazing. These are people that are going to be a part of the Master Passive Income Podcast Network, showing you how to invest in real estate. And so that leads me into today's episode. Now, today's episode is, I met this lady, this really, really good investor, at a conference a number of years ago. It was a conference about financial content creators and podcasters and bloggers. I met her and we hit it off. I mean, she's a great person, fantastic lady. She invests in real estate, and I'll be completely honest and say, that's why I go to conferences. I meet amazing people. They're going to put their money in the direction of where they want to be, like real estate investing. My guest that I'm bringing on today is a terrific real estate investor. She has her own podcast. She also teaches people how to have good finances, but is also an amazing real estate investor. And as I was talking to her at one of the conferences recently, I started talking to her. She said how she's invested in real estate, how she was getting land for free. Now, there's some stipulations in a sense. You're going to get that in the episode. But I said, you need to come on and share with my audience how you're investing in low-income areas, revitalizing them, making them better for people there, and making a lot of money doing it. And also, get this, getting free land on top of that. She's coming on. Fantastic investor, host of the Stacking Deeds podcast. Now, that's not a part of the Master Passive Income podcast. Totally different, the network, totally different podcast. But she's coming on, and she is going to help us to understand how we can navigate these low-income areas and make a lot of money doing it. Here is my interview with Crystal Hammond from the Stacking Deeds podcast. Here we go.
Hey, Crystal. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, hi, Dustin. Thank you for having me, and thanks for having this very important platform, you know, to share stories. I'm a storyteller, so I like telling stories.
Same here. I find that the better stories that you tell, the better it helps the person that's listening. You're trying to either help or, you know, teach something or coach them on something. It really grabs in their brain. So, well, Crystal, let's jump into your story. Now, this is also going to be where we're just going to be having a lot of fun, because you and I are friends. We've known each other for a little while now. Mm-hmm. And it's so great that you and I actually get to talk about real estate, because usually when we're meeting each other or seeing each other, it's at conferences and we're kind of in passing. So we don't get a chance to really talk about all the real estate. And then recently you said, I started a podcast, the Stacking Deeds podcast, because real estate investing, this is great. We got to have you on the show. So how did you get into real estate investing? Because it's hard for some people to get started, but you're doing it. You have a duplex, you have a fourplex coming, but how'd you get into it?
Well, a wise man once said, sometimes the time picks you. I remember years ago. So, hi everyone. I am from the south side of Chicago. People don't believe me when I say I grew up in the hood, but that's where I grew up. And one day after I graduated college, I was, traipsing along renting. And the place that I grew up in, it's a duplex on the south side of Chicago. And my mom still lived in one of the units. And the landlords wanted to sell the building. And so there were friends of mine who went to these real estate meetings, quote unquote. So I told them, I was like, hey, can I go with you to one of your real estate meetings? And my plan was just to meet somebody, become their friend, and say, hey, I know this place for sale. Can you buy it? But just don't raise my mom's rent. And, you know, funny thing about real estate investors, they want you to become one too. You know, they want to share the wealth. They want you to do what they're doing. So long story short, the guy was like, why don't you buy it? And he's like, do you have a job, right? And I was like, yeah, but I can't buy real estate. Nobody in my family owns real estate. Like, why me? How am I going to own real estate? So push comes to shove, like, I ended up buying the duplex. So I lived in one unit. My mom lived in another unit. I was able to lower her rent because she was paying, like, her rent was over half of what the mortgage was going to be. Also, I even got money back at the closing because, you know, negotiated having the seller pay for the closing costs.
What year was this?
This was back in 2005.
Okay.
And of course, in real estate, Dustin, you know, things don't go to plan because one of the owners, the owners lived in Mexico right now. So we had to find them in Mexico. And the wife had died. So they had to prove that the wife died and they had to, you know, come back to America for the closing. So this was, I think I wanted to say, I started like in November and didn't close till like March, I want to say. So, you know, so congratulations. You're the proud owner of, you know, a new duplex.
You were doing house hacking before, obviously, that term.
I didn't even know what it was. Yeah, before it was popular because now, you know, I was just split in half, me and my mom paying the mortgage. And this was way cheaper than the rent I was paying. This is a place that I knew backwards and forwards, you know, because this is where I grew up. I grew up, you know, in the upstairs apartment. And so this, it was one of the first dreams come true. And then, so of course.
And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin and Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that. And how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
That first real estate meeting, I kept going to more meetings because, you know, this was a fun group of people. I was learning a lot, and then I actually learned about this program that the city had. So I thought I was rich. I was making, and it's interesting too, because people think you need to be rich. I was making $14 an hour when I bought that first place, but I didn't know it was considered low income. So there was a program with the city where I got a grant. It was a $50,000 loan. I had to pay back 25. They forgave 25 after 5 years, and I got to spruce up the place. So I redid the electrical. I knocked a wall down. I made the bathrooms bigger. I made a laundry room. I installed hardwood floors. So I totally redid my mom's whole kitchen. And that was fun. I think this Thanksgiving, they had a lot of funny TikToks where people were throwing away expired stuff. My mom had stuff from the wedding, from her wedding when her and my dad got married in 78 that was unopened. I was like, we're throwing this stuff away. So I got to redo her whole kitchen and her bathroom too. And little did I would have never known about that program had I not been hanging out with other real estate people.
That's amazing. It is. And it's fantastic. And that it's kind of fun on top of that, because you become friends with all these other investors that they have great ideas. And it honestly, what it really comes down to, I found, is literally getting out and talking to people. You know, it's kind of, it's easy just to sit back and not sit back, like just try to do it yourself. It's easy in your like mindset. It's not easy to do it, but it's harder to get out, to go to a meetup and meet somebody. So I bet that you probably have still some friends that you met back then that you still know or talk to.
Yes, yes, yes. Because I'm a remote investor. I live in the DC area now. So my duplex is still in Chicago. And another thing, let people know your goals. A friend of mine knew that I was in real estate. So a friend told a friend, they were like, hey, make sure Crystal knows that the city has a program where they're selling vacant lots for a dollar. And I was like, shut up. So when did I found out about that program in like 2015. And another interesting thing.
This is in Chicago.
Yeah, this is in Chicago. And another interesting thing about the time picking you, I'll never forget when I first bought that place in 2005, they're like, man, one day a developer is going to come and develop the neighborhood and your property value is going to go up. You know, here we are in 2023 and it still hasn't happened. But so I found out about that program and you have, Dustin, you know this too. I'm going to keep saying Dustin, you know this, but you know that you have to pack your patience in real estate and working with the city and, you know, finding good deals because that first dollar lot, the program, I found out about it in 2015. It had just closed. So I was like, okay, next time they open the program, I'm applying. And you can apply for two lots per address. And you didn't even have to live in the city, but you had to already own. So already I kept my duplex and my mom still lives there to this day. And so 2017, it took 2 years for them to reopen the program. So when it opened, I applied for those two. And so got the two lots for a dollar, had to pay like $99 for a recording fee. But, you know, this was great. And then they had the program again. So then I applied. So this time I had three addresses. So they only had a couple more properties.
So the ones that you got more property. Okay, yes. You have to apply more.
Yes. So now today, it is funny. Pack your patience. 2023, I have five vacant lots now on the same block. And we actually closed during the pandemic because when they opened up the second round in 2020, I didn't close on that fifth lot until it was November. Was it? No, August. It was August of 2023. This is how long it took for the city to work through. But hey, I was happily waiting. And unfortunately, I was collecting tickets too, because you have to keep the grass cut on the properties.
Totally.
And I didn't do that
property
a couple of times. Right. Yeah. But I definitely stayed current on the property taxes. Like I made sure they had my address and I would always log onto the site just to make sure I didn't miss anything because they did. They forgot to charge me one time, of course, the tax man, you know, they cometh. So they charged me for back taxes, but I was ready for it because I had already budgeted for that. And so little did I know. Yeah.
I love your point too. And I love the saying, you don't wait to buy real estate. You buy real estate and then wait. It's just over time. Eventually something's going to happen where it's going to be developed, like this land, this lot that you have, or let's say somebody wants to buy it from you, or the big development is actually coming in and taking up, whatever it might be. There's always something coming, especially if you could buy it for a dollar. That's fantastic. And pay for, just make sure that, you know, it's the lawn's cut. You know, what's interesting. So I have a property in Youngstown, Ohio, and that's where I first got started. It's, in fact, I tell my students, like, I encourage them to not invest in Youngstown because it's a really, really rough area to find property managers. You can't. It's so hard because it's just a really economically depressed area. That's the biggest thing, being a remote investor. I don't want to manage the properties. I want somebody else to do it. Yep. But if you can't find a property manager, it's not going to be good for you. But because I found a really good property manager, then I just got it in the mail. As you were telling that story, you told that story for me about 3 or 4 months ago when we were at FinCon, or the other conference that we go to. You were telling me the story. I was like, man, that would be awesome if I got that. It's literally sitting here on my desk. I literally have a document. Here it is from Youngstown. Mm-hmm. I literally have them saying, hey, we want you, if you mow the lawn next door to you, we'll give you the property. I was like, what?
Shut up.
I know. So I'm going to apply. And they obviously got to give it to me. But I think you have to be adjacent to it. So there's, you know, obviously I'm adjacent.
Yeah.
So hopefully the person next to me is not applying. And then I can just get that lot all by itself. Let me ask you this. Because you've learned, obviously, there are government programs and things like that. Have you figured out, other than just talking to the real estate investors, that's a great idea, maybe realtors or anything like that, is there any, have you come across anything of how to make sure you find these programs before you jump into doing anything and just maybe missing something like that?
Well, the city council meetings, like, I'm not going to say thanks to COVID, but now we are in a more virtual world. So I've been able to watch all the previous city council meetings, the zoning meetings, just to see what other people are doing, what organizations are doing. And I'm doing research on, okay, this organization bought this building, or they were able to get zoning a property rezoned. And so, you know, who are they and what's behind? And I plan on reaching out to these people too, because if you're not attending meetings that are put on actually by the city, like they just had a big last year, the Chicago Build Conference, and it was free, but I upgraded to this VIP, which was totally not VIP, but I was able to chat with other people because they had so many things that I totally didn't know. There's a contractors association for women contractors, for minority contractors, for Hispanic, Black, like they have a contractors association for everyone. And I was there talking to every single person. They even have one for students where they'll come bid on your project with a mentor and they'll say, hey, you underbid on this area or you overbid, because I don't know what to pay someone for a new staircase. So I need to lean on, you know, these other professionals to find out what to do. So I would say find more conferences, but the city council meetings, they've definitely been helpful just in learning like what the process, because there's been so many setbacks on this process. Cause I had to get the before I can build anything, because my goal now that I have the five lots is to build fourplexes on each lot.
Oh, that's gonna be nice.
Cool. I'm excited because this is where I grew up. This has been a forgotten neighborhood that nobody, they kept saying a developer is gonna come, and I did not know that
you.
I would, yeah, that would yes. be me someday. Little old Crystal, you know.
Well, I gotta ask, you actually watch those board meetings? Oh my goodness. Oh,
they're not
boring.
Bad, but the okay. notes too, the notes are very detailed too. So, and you can listen to them fast forward. I don't listen to anything regular sense. Speed anyway, yeah. but the notes are very detailed and very helpful. And I want to let you guys know that I've been patient. I've been patiently paying the taxes and paying these tickets until I found the right people to help me that I trust to take things to the next level. Because real estate is a people business. You cannot do this by yourself. There, if you're trying to do it, no, you don't know enough people. Then just keep waiting, keep meeting, keep talking, keep asking questions. Meet people that will answer all your questions and be very transparent, because you need that. Because I know people, a friend of mine got $35,000. He was investing with this Instagram famous investor and his money's gone. Him and the guy's gone. And it's like, you need to wait. This is a hurry up and wait game. So I waited till I knew the right people to partner with, and they know more than I know. And so I'm just sponging off of them to learn. And then we're in this together.
You said something that was, I want to ask you how, like what you meant, because how I took it away, it was like, that was a really insightful comment. You said that, I think it's something to the effect of, if you don't know how to do it, it's probably you don't know enough people, because the people are going to help you to do it. Is that what I heard you say? Like, how did you say it? Is that
oh, yeah. Yeah. Doing? If you don't know, like if you are trying to, let's say you're trying to do a flip. If you don't know, if you don't have a mentor that's done a flip and that's familiar with the process, they don't have to be like familiar with that particular neighborhood, but you do want somebody that could be familiar in that neighborhood. And I'm talking, you want all the details. Like, you don't want to flip any rocks or, you know, leave any rock unturned. I'd love to mess up analogies like that. But you want someone that's going to walk you through the numbers. If you don't have a friend, and I'm not meaning like, you know, a friend, because the five people you hang out with, they're going to make or break you. So you got to think about that. So if you're hanging out with some Instagram famous person that hasn't done this in real life or put it to practice, reduced it to practice, you know, pavement, feet to the pavement, then you need to wait till you meet someone like that. And if you think, oh no, I'm never going to meet, never say never. And you have to put it out there. You have to, because like I said, this dollar deal, yeah, because
you don't go out and try to meet people and try to find the people, they're not going to just come knock on your door.
I used to love to tell my nephews, a job's not going to knock on your door and say, hey, I hear you've been looking for me. No, but even just like the deals, they came to me because people knew my goals. They knew I was into real estate. And they're like, hey, let me give Crystal this information. And then it's up to you to take it to the next level. Because I just could have forgotten about it and let it, you know, nope. And so I followed up. I pursue all opportunities, you know, if they're a good fit for me too. Because that's another thing. You want to go with your comfort zone, like something you don't understand. don't do it, but you need the right people also. Like, and I always listen, explain it to me like I'm five, because I want to be able to explain this to someone else before I take the next step. Otherwise, you know, it's not for me. And I'm not saying you need to know everything. Like, you don't need to know how to build the staircase. You just need to know that this is who you need to hire. This person doesn't have liens. You know, this person doesn't walk off jobs, and this person is not overcharging you. That's the stuff that you need to know, because you do need to be able to trust people and let them do their jobs, because, you know, you don't want to alienate people, but you want them to do their jobs in a professional way. But you want it to be done so that you both are happy in the end. That's the main point.
So what's it like knowing now what you know, but looking back, you know, in 2005, you say you grew up in the hood, and but now, like, where you are now? I mean, honestly, I mean, especially being an engineer, being you have multiple businesses, side hustles, but I call them businesses. You're really coming from where you were. You could easily have just said, "Oh, just life's going to not keep knocking me down. I'm not going to keep moving forward." But I just actually genuinely curious, like, what was it? Was there something inside of you that's inherent? Did somebody teach you something, you know, to make you keep wanting to move forward?
I think it's just not wanting to fail. What, not even wanting to fail, because college was so hard for me. Growing up, I knew I wanted to, quote unquote, be rich. So I would read these magazines and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to have a house like that one day. I keep dreaming. Like, I have a goal. I want to have yacht parties, you know, one day. And, you know, I just have all these dreams of things that I want to do, but I know what I have to do to make them happen. And it's up to me to make those things happen. It's not up to anybody else. So that's with my follow through. I flunked out of college twice. And I went,
twice.
And I had all these scholarships, all these people believing in me, but I'm like, I want to go to these parties. So, you know, and that's exactly what happened to me. But I always had that, you know, that North Star, my North Star. I'm always following it. And it's like, okay, you need to get it together. Cause I got better at college when I switched who I hung around with. I hung around with fellow engineers, and boom, I learned more, because I was able to talk to them more about, you know, class. Hey, you know, class was fun, or class sucked. Did you understand any of that? You know, so changing who I surrounded myself with, that set me up for success. And so I just kept that formula for the next venture and the next venture. Because even a fitness instructor, I'm certified, you know, to teach classes, but I failed that written test the first time. When they were like, time for the written test, I was like, oh, I didn't know there was a test today, but it's something that I loved in my heart and I wanted. And so I was like, okay, I failed. Now I know what, you know, questions to keep to study for next time. And then I, you know, aced it the next time. So, you know, a lot of things came easy, but a lot of things came hard, but it was something I wanted and it was up to me.
I love how you just, you don't stop. Like, you keep moving forward. And I love that, as, because very similar to me, like, I literally grew up like as poor as you can probably be. My parents, they were in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, probably like 800 square feet, and they were renting it. They could barely afford rent. But praise the Lord, you know, just little by little, my parents started pushing forward to not live in that, just, you know, become a victim and just say, oh, now life's going to knock me down. Well, it only if you let it knock you down and you stay down, then you need to get back up. You need to get back up and move forward. That's the only way to actually get anywhere in life. So from there, well, I remember you shared just before we got on, you have a fourplex now. So is this one of the fourplexes you're building? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So this is another thing about the whole being resilient too. It's fun making all these mistakes, because I know that, you know, I'm not going to make these mistakes again. Like, I'm excited about getting all these mistakes out of the way. Just because, prime example, to build the first lots, I took out a hard money loan back after FinCon Beach last year. So I've been paying on the loan since May of last year. And I thought, okay, we're going to ask the alderman to say yes. You know, I already know all the neighbors because that's where I grew up. Nobody objects. And he's going to sign this letter, and then we can go to the next city council meeting and say, hey, you know, we're ready. Approve this. No, it's not how it went. We met with the alderman, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to check, you know, with the neighbors. So we met, we waited, I had the architect draw everything up. You know, I had the lawyer draw everything up to get ready for the rezone. And then still crickets from the alderman. So then we met with him again in August. And then again, he's like, oh, yeah, I like you. Yes, you sound really great.
So hold on to August. What's the alderman? I have no clue.
Oh, so the city of Chicago, they're broken into wards. And each ward has an alderman, woman, or person. And I actually had a letter from the previous alder woman, but she retired. So in May, that reset the whole process.
Oh, man.
That's exactly what happened. And, you know, they only meet once a month and you have to be really early to get on the docket. So that slowed everything down. So January of 2023 is when we finally got the letter from the alderman signed, because then we met with them again in November.
Approval,
yeah,
for you to be
exactly.
Able to
got it. Yes. So it's funny too, because in another mistake. So back in May, when we thought, you know, after that first meeting that he was going to, you know, we were going to get this letter signed, we applied for all the building permits. And so after I got the letter in January, I'm so excited. I'm like, let me log in. And, you know, because the permits are coming, you know, we'll be updating our permits, because we were like, let's get a place in line early. Well, the permits are all expired due to inactivity, because, you know, totally didn't know, you know, that it would take that long to get the letter. So it's just little setbacks that keep happening. And then there are the cities. I'll tell you a little bit about the cities. So the cities that have neighborhoods that, you know, have the vacant lots and that have, you know, like the ignored cities, they want tax income from these, you know, these places. So that's why the city of Chicago was selling for a dollar. Now they have the land bank program, or Shy Block Builder. That's what it's called now. So they have a program where they want investors and developers to come in and, you know, do what they don't have the manpower to do. And there's grants, there's programs, but they don't knock on your door and say, hey, I hear you've been looking for me. You have got to go out there and get it. So you got to do the research, or just network with other people that are doing what you've done. I've reached out to some of the, like, I always take note of, you know, what developers, who is where in what neighborhood, and just see if I know anyone or if I can contact anyone. I've been getting ignored, but I'm not going to stop. Maybe my ChatGPT scripts aren't good enough or need to tweak, or need to use ChatGPT to bring, you know, help me with what to say. Because I'm just reaching out to people that are in the neighborhoods and their communities, and there's programs. Because some of the grant programs, you can look up the previous winners. You can do a what's
you
it called?
Talk to some them? Kind of.
Well, like, you can do a record request to see how they applied.
Oh.
And even for the contractors to get an estimate for the build.
Yeah, so you can see
there
what
were
they did.
Five, yeah, we had five different contractors bid, and the prices were way different. But at least that's another term, you know, thing of due diligence that I'm doing just to get this right.
That's fantastic. And right now you're in the process of building this fourplex. Where, or have you broken ground yet? Is it starting
to
build yet? Okay.
Yeah, no shovels and ground yet. So the next step is the city council meeting to have the city council approve, because the letter from the alderman is just saying, yep, this is happening in my backyard. I approve. So now the city has to say, okay, yes. And now the building permit department will say yes. Yep.
So it does take a very long time for development. And honestly, like when you do I've never actually personally done development. My dad worked for, he was a contractor, and he did development with another bigger company. It just takes so much time and lots of money, but in the end, it pays off, because you produce something that wasn't already there before, and you make it worth so much more value than it was. And then hopefully, if you're able to, you know, profit from it, all that time is going to be worthwhile.
It is. And it is another thing about being the developer. The developer gets paid last, you know, but you are not in it for the big payout. You're in it to make a change to your community. And you're bringing life, like you are. It's your baby, because you're putting all these other people to work, the contractors, the architects, you know, the lawyers. They're getting a lot of money. But I think it's really cool because, you know, I'll be able to say, you know, I did that. Like, how many people can say they built something? But
well, most people,
you
know, can't. I mean, that's
right. And I didn't know. I had
I've
no
never
idea
built anything from the ground up either. So I'm like, that is awesome that you're doing it. And plus, you're helping the community. I'll give you one thing that I've been doing with the community. So you remember how I said Youngstown, Ohio?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm a Buckeye. That's where I finally graduated from, Ohio State.
So the its area is so economically depressed that back in, I was buying these houses for like, I don't know, $15,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
Really? But it was back in, you know, 2010, you know, so a little while ago. And now they're, I don't know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 now. But back then, people couldn't even buy homes back then. The people lived there. They just didn't have the money to do it. And even now, they can't buy homes. So because I like playing Monopoly, this is my version of Monopoly, where I'm doing literally a rent to own. So they have a 10-year rent to own. Yeah, and I literally give them the property outright when they're all done. And I'll be completely honest to say, I probably wouldn't want to own these properties. I would want to transition into, you know, bigger properties or more expensive properties. But the great thing is it gives people a home to live in permanently.
Yeah.
And it brings up the community, because when you have somebody that owns and they take value in the thing that they own, they're going to make sure it is nice and kept up, not like a rental. So above all, like, if we can help, and you said this just a little bit ago, if we can help people, you brought the idea that we're in the people business. You're 100% right.
Yes.
Real estate is not about properties, even though that's a product of it. We're about people. In my opinion, everything in life is about people. Like,
yes,
real estate's not about a property. It's about people. Business is not about a product. It's about people.
Nope.
And life is not about experiences. It's about people. The more people that you can help in this life, the better that your life and their lives get. And honestly, I'll be completely honest, Crystal, like, when I switched my focus from making money to provide for my family because I had real estate, so I didn't have to work anymore. When I switched it to then, how many people can I serve? How many people can I help to invest in real estate? I started becoming more fulfilled in my life. And the great thing that I found inside of real estate investing, it's got me to where I had enough money to be able to afford the thing. Well, let me get the four legacies that I think everybody needs to have in their life. Number one, the money legacy, to be able to buy, you know, afford whatever they want. Next one is a time legacy, because money leads into time.
Yes.
In the time legacy, you have time to go and do whatever you want. Then that time leads into relationships. Money leads into time. Time leads into relationships. And that relationship legacy, you're shoring up all your relatives and coworkers and other people that you know. Like, you're trying to build up your relationship so that hopefully people are looking at you as jumping into the last legacy, which is a service legacy. Yeah. So money leads into time. Time leads in relationship. Relationship leads into service. So as you build on each one of these, you get to the last one, which is service, which is so amazing because the focus is off yourself. I know I read the Bible. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so if I'm arrogant and prideful, thinking that I'm all, you know, everything, well, God opposes me. And I don't want that. I want God to actually be for me. But he says he gives grace to the humble. So those who reach the service stage, hopefully they're not arrogant. More than likely, if they get there and they're serving people, the arrogance is kind of brought out of them because they are now realizing that it's about other people. Stop focusing on yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100,000%. Because it is like the sense of pride of home ownership, even just those words, they're like expensive words. They're really good words. And they like the community when they're like, there's more the home pride, you know, it's better than having some, you know, out of town investor that's not there with the boots on the ground. We did an episode on there was a company that came in. Luckily, the family didn't live there. This was their second home, but they demolished the wrong house. And there were neighbors that saw it happen. But imagine if you were, that wouldn't happen. I'm not, well, that wouldn't happen to a landlord or an investor that's not in tune with the community. You know, had that investor been in the community, knew the neighbors, they would have been like, hold on, stop. You know, this is Crystal's house. Crystal did not order no demolition, you know? So that speaks volumes for, you know, your impact on the neighborhoods that you are building. And when you're, you know, how Dustin, you are turning ownership over back. Sorry, I'm making your editing so hard. when you're turning the buildings, you know, back to the neighborhood, that's unforgettable. And so, that carries forward. Yeah. It definitely does.
So what I love, and I believe the more I serve people, the better my life gets. And I'll give you an example of this. So when I sell this property, quote unquote sell, but like it's getting a tenant in there, that's going to give me rent every single month. And then I'm going to give them the property when the whole 10 years is up. In the end, I'm telling them, treat me like the bank. I want you to have ownership. Like all you're doing is you're paying me, and I want you to feel like this is your property. If you want to paint the walls, if you want to add this or add that, like as long as it's raising the value, which usually everything they're going to do is going to raise the value, I want you to feel like it's yours. And in the end, it is yours. In fact, I think I've had two properties turn over, meaning actually gave them over to the new homeowners, and they are so ecstatic about that.
Well, another thing that I learned from attending those real estate meetings early on, a lot of the investors, they were like, well, yeah, we give the tenants gifts, but, you know, they seem like gifts, but they're really a gift to the property. They're like, okay, it's been 2 years. Let's redo your carpet. And so, you know, they think, and you can tell them, you know, you can pick out the carpet, or if you want hardwood floors, let's do that. But you're increasing the property value, and it gives you a chance to see what's going on in your property, too. And but that's also, you know, like strengthening your relationship with your tenants. But that's a huge, I would be excited, you know, my landlord come in and wants to, you know, make some upgrades, like, oh, how's your fridge, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a gift to the tenant while also, you know, a gift to the property too.
I like that idea too, because I've done it a couple times. I've heard other people do this more often, but like, let's say a tenant's been in there for a number of years. Well, let's say for Christmas, they give them like a $50, $100 gift card to Home Depot or Lowe's.
Or cleaning, it's like,
Or cleaning.
Maid. Maid service.
That's a good thought. Because we know that people don't take care of other people's things as well as they take care of their own.
Yes.
So if you give them incentive to also do it, but then at the same time, if you, you know, take care of your property, it also takes care of them. Now, what's the future for you? Like, how quickly? Government always takes forever. Government's so slow. It's they're not fun to work with. Now, what's your future with this one property? And are you going to do all four of these lots the same way?
Yeah, all five. Yeah, the plan is to have all five. Yes. And then the plan is to actually, so my goal is to really impress the alderman. Like, okay, she is about her word. She did great, because also I want the housing to be workforce, not just Section 8, you know, affordable, which no matter which tenant you want, you have to do due diligence, because there are amazing, hardworking Section 8 tenants. There are amazing, you know, hardworking, you know, market rate tenants. So it's up to you to make that decision. But I want the alderman to say, okay, she's proven her worth. Let's give her some more property, or not give, but, you know, I have plans for, you know, transforming the whole neighborhood, because these five fourplexes, it's a great start, but I want to keep going. And so I'm building this relationship with the local alderman. And remember, I'm doing this from afar too. And so it's been a lot of back and forth, but my goal is to just completely change this neighborhood, because this is my comfort zone. So you guys, if you're trying to think of ideas, it has to be your comfort zone. Also, it's something that you're familiar with. I've been in the DC area for 17 years, but it's expensive here. This is not my target market. So I'm looking at places that, you know, it's my target market. It fits. It makes sense. The math, you always do the pencil. The math will say yes or no. Math is emotionless. So you definitely have to do that math and figure out what works.
So did you already, because building something new, it's pretty expensive right now. Like, just all, everything's expensive, but materials are really expensive. So you've already worked out how much it would cost to build the fourplex, and then how much you could rent it for.
Are you going to be making all of that? And the bank. So I'm after the permits are approved is when I could actually get the construction loan. So the bank does their due diligence too. So all the paperwork, the pro forma, all of that's been filled out. Like, all of that is like preliminary has been given to the bank. But they're also going to do their due diligence on the contractor that I picked. So it doesn't end there. Like, the next round of work comes in underwriting, which
it seems like there's so much red tape. Like, you're listen. Spending your money. They're not, yeah. they're not spending their money. That's a lot of like, they don't, in my opinion, they don't need to be in that detail. That's just crazy. And that just extends the process. And eventually, if just so much money comes out of your pocket, eventually you might go bankrupt. I'm not saying you will, but just like, it's like you, the longer it takes, the harder it is for a developer to actually do it. So I'm hoping that they start figuring out how to get rid of all this red tape. I mean, does that feel like it's just extending the timeline?
It is. And I mean, it makes sense though. It's protecting me and them also. And it's also making sure that, you know, I can do this. It's the, just like in college, the weed out courses, you know, this is designed to the people who aren't really serious about this. To get them out of the game as early as possible. So but, if you but have the right team.
Play a little devil's advocate and say that they are trying, they believe, they, wrong button. So they believe that they understand what is the right way to do it or the way that they want you to do it. What if it's not the best way? What if it's one way and there's like eight ways to do it? They're the saying that we know the exact way to do it, and we need somebody else to spend all their time and money to do it the way that we want to do. Especially, you're like, let's say, I'm saying the government, not saying the bank. The bank, you have to. We want them to do their due diligence because they're the ones lending the money. They're going to make sure you do it right. But I'm just talking specifically about the government, where the government is saying, well, we know what's best, so you do it the way that we want you to. I'm like, well, if you did, you would already be doing it. And there's a reason why it's not being done. And so my little pushback is when the government steps in and says, we know better, and so we're going to tell you how to do it, I'm going to tell you that the government loves spending other people's money. That's like their favorite thing to do. Yeah. They're really, really, they're good at spending the money, not on what it goes to. So all that to say, if you are a business owner, if you're an investor, you're putting your hard-earned dollars, you're going to make sure you do it right. Hopefully you're not depending on the government to tell you how to do it right. You're going to go to, like you said in the beginning, talk to other real estate investors. You're going to talk to the banks. You're going to talk to people who have done it before. The people that have done it before are not the people in the government. Does that make sense?
Yes. I was just going to say that too. It's like the even the bigger deals, like the partnerships, the syndications, they have their own money. They don't need to go to the government for any of this stuff. I mean, they would have to come to the government for the zoning, but sometimes they're 10 steps ahead on those processes in the first place. And it is, I can tell you, it's a lot easier for other people too, because there's one of the banks I was talking to when we were on the call. He's like, yeah, we're going to see what the appraisals look like in that neighborhood. And it's like, okay, you're making it clear that you don't want to invest in this neighborhood, because even I tried to, first of all, I still have the original loan from 2005, and it's an adjustable rate, and it's up to what, like 10% now, because it's in a red line zip code. I tried to refinance that property and my credit score is in the 800s. Unsuccessfully, so many times.
Because of that area, they're saying that.
Yeah, it's a red line area. And, you know, it pisses me off, but it is what it is. You know, it's just, it's up to me to do the work.
When what you do is you never stop. Like, you're going to figure out a
way. Right. Yeah.
That's what we do as business owners, is we don't stop. And here's the thing, I think, as entrepreneurs, we're problem solvers. There's a problem that's going to come in the way. We figure out how to get around that problem.
Yes.
And so, like that, say, like you're saying, well, crap, we have be a little crass, but like a 10% interest rate. I'm trying to refinance, but you're not refinancing me. Well, we got to figure out, like, that's what we do. Yeah. Is we figure out other ways around these issues that either get imposed on us or that just happen. We got to figure it out. And you're not stopping, which is why I love.
No, I'm not quitting. Nope. Yeah. It's just a game of figuring it out. And then like I said earlier, I love making these mistakes. I love having these setbacks, because this is not going to happen again the next time. I'm learning, I'm documenting, and then I'm lining up my ducks to have, you know, it'll be so smooth. Like, I'm not going to say I'll be doing these in my sleep, but, you know, I'll be building, like, this fifth fourplex is totally going to be a totally different experience from the first fourplex, you know? So what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to getting to that fifth, but so, just making all the mistakes on this first one.
Yeah. And honestly, when you have those mistakes, you're able to share those things. Now, I quickly want to touch on, you're doing a podcast called Stacking Deeds. Like, what's the purpose? Yeah, what's the purpose of that? It seems like you're able to give, which is what we've been talking about this whole time, and giving out your experiences and the wrong way to do it right, or wrong way to do it, and then the right way to do it as well. But yeah, like, is that like just another form of you giving?
Yes. And we want people to buy their first piece of investment property. There are a lot of people that are on the fence or they don't know where to start. So we want to give you voices of people that, you know, that can tell you the whole bunch of different ways to invest in real estate. We had, you know, Scott Carson, we had him on talking about notes, investing in notes. That was a really fun conversation. We had Suni Rao, we've had Paula Pant, like we've had people that are investing in so many different ways, but they're just sharing because some people, they love, I don't like managing, I love property managers, but some people don't like property managers.
I love property managers.
Yeah, me too. But you know, they want to keep that extra 10% or however, you know, much you pay. And even Grace, we had Grace on a while ago and she talked about how she gets her tenants from local charities because they're just women that just need a month or two to get back on their feet. And that's a grant, like a government subsidized program. And you would never think. And she's like, oh yeah. And I met this, the group, the actual charity in a Facebook group, you know, these like the Buy Nothing groups. It was like a similar group to that. So, you know, you never know when you're in a position to help someone. And so that gives her great joy to be able to help these women, you know, that, you know, domestic violence, you know, whatever reason that, you know, they need a place to stay. And she's able to provide that, you know, via investing. It's cool.
And also what I love about podcasting is meeting awesome people too, you know, and
you
meet some really, really awesome people, awesome real estate investors. In fact, my conference, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference came about because I met so many awesome real estate investors podcasting and YouTubing. It's just getting networking, getting around. But Crystal, you've been absolutely fantastic. I know people want to check out the Stacking Deeds. How else can people find you online or connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm Condo Crystal in the Twitter and Instagram streets. It's CONDOCRYSTAL. Spelled it totally normal. And then stackingdeeds.net or wherever you listen to your podcast is where you can find the podcast. I'm trying to be more consistent on posting. I'm such a consumer of social media and not as much as a producer. So even if you follow me or message me, I'll see it and say hi. But we love, and we take questions from listeners. We've had a lot of cool questions because even one of the listeners was like, hey, here's a property in Detroit. She sent us the Redfin listing and we went through step by step of how we would evaluate that deal. So you can see if it was a deal or no deal. We even had one where we asked ChatGPT a lot of different questions because I was like, what do contractors lie about or what do realtors lie about to get your business? You know, because that's just, you're just arming yourself with tools to negotiate and, you know things.
Absolutely. Crystal, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
Super
you.
Puppy. Everybody check out Stacking Deeds. Crystal is awesome. I've known her for, we went skiing.
Yes,
that was so much fun. But man, it's great having you on, Crystal, and hopefully
be able
to chat with you soon again. But thanks again.
Definitely.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. RENTAL to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching, get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.